Amen. Open up your books to the book of Psalms. Start the Psalms. I'm not going to be there, but that's where we're going to start. I don't know about you, but all down through my life, I always make mistakes most of the time. Lord, I'm a good person who just happened to be in a bad situation.
Okay.
How many folks in here have ever had to remind yourself that you were in a bad situation, but you were a good person?
Amen.
You had a good heart,
yeah.
But you were just in a bad situation. There's three examples that we're going to explore today where these people were good people. They were just in bad situations. Some they created, some they were predestined to be in, but they were in bad situations. But the good thing to know about being in a bad situation, you don't have to stay there.
Amen.
We have the power, the ability to move forward and leave the situation that torments us behind us. Amen. In the book of Psalms, you can go to 41st chapter. I don't know if you've done any extensive study of the book of Psalms, but the book of Psalms is actually broken down into five different books. It's the Genesis book, which is concerning man. That's chapters 1 through 41. It's the Exodus book concerning Israel as a nation, chapter 42 to 72. The Leviticus book concerning the sanctuary, chapter 73 through 89. The Numbers book concerning Israel and the nations of the earth, chapters 90 through 106. And then the Deuteronomy book concerning God and His Word, chapters 107 through 150. Today we are in the Genesis book concerning man. Basically, because different verses in the book of Psalms corresponds with different chapters in the book of Genesis, giving the same rendition or the same meaning or example of the power and the glory of God.
Amen.
Today, as we are in the 41st verse, we're going to explore the life of David. We know that David created situations for himself that he was just in, but he had a good heart. Mm-hmm. Well, we know he had a good heart, because the Bible says he was the apple of God's heart. It's impossible to be the apple of God's heart if you don't have a good heart.
Right.
So here we hear in the book of Psalms, the 41st chapter, which is a psalm of David. And I don't know, your Bible probably doesn't have this breakdown, but my Bible breaks it down as Messiah's prayer and praise in view of future blessings. Mm-hmm. The reason it talks like that, because David's lineage will eventually lead to the birth and the death and the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
So it ties the both of them together. The first verse reads, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." The Lord will what? Preserve him and do what? Keep him and shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon his bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. David, at this particular time that he wrote this, that he was making this prayer, was in a bad situation. How many of you have just found yourself, woke up one morning, and come to the conclusion that you are in a bad situation? Things that happened around you and in your life that made you feel like you wish you were in another place in another time.
Right.
But you couldn't jump forward and you couldn't move backward to change your present. So you had to deal with where you were.
Yes.
You were in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
Situation deals with circumstances that we find ourselves in. Things that we have to deal with this life. We are going to deal with some things in this life. There's no way around it. Because not only are we flesh, but all the people we seem to deal with are just as fleshly as we are.
Right.
Some of them, even more.
Right.
And it doesn't mean whether, it doesn't matter whether they can shout, they can run up and down the aisle, they can fall out of the floor, they can speak in tongues, they can interpret a word. It does not matter.
Right.
They're still Say it, huh, Brother Robert? They're still flesh.
Amen.
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 David was saying, blessed is he that considereth, hath compassion and kindness and love. There's a purpose for this. Mm-hmm. For the poor. The poor is not talking about folks that don't have food to eat or don't have money in their pocket or don't have housing. The poor is talking about people who are down and beaten up in their spirits.
All right.
A lot of people that are in the churches and some that have left the churches have been wounded by people that are in the church.
Amen.
Yeah.
I was never wounded by somebody on the outside. I was always wounded by somebody who I had confidence in inside.
Amen.
There you go.
Amen. Right. Amen. Amen.
They found a way to reach out and touch me in a certain way, and I found myself in a certain situation. And as they say, feeling a certain way. When you find yourself feeling a certain way, now you look and put up your defenses. You're trying to figure out how to get out of it.
Right.
Because you don't like the way you're feeling. You don't like what you see. You don't like what your imagination is doing to you. You find yourself, Brother Riley, in a certain situation, feeling a certain way.
Come on now.
All right.
I like that.
So here's David, who found himself in a certain situation, and he was letting him know that this thing that I'm talking about is something that I have to do too, because I do have a good heart. But I'm here to tell you that if you do this, if you realize that you may be in a bad situation for a reason, because God is trying to use you to demonstrate the love and the power of God under somebody else's life who is also in a bad situation. If you will consider, have compassion on him, the Lord will do what? He will deliver you.
Amen.
In time of trouble.
Amen.
The time represents from sun up to sundown. That means there's no time limit on God.
Right.
He'll show up when you least expect it to get you through whatever it's going through.
Yes,
you find yourself in a bad situation, but God's got you covered.
Yes, he will.
Amen.
Yes, he will.
Amen.
But
unfortunately, it don't come free.
Yeah.
It costs you something.
Yeah.
It costs you your feelings. Your emotions. God wants you to bring them under subjection to the power of God.
That's right.
David said, if you do this in your time of trouble, the Lord will preserve him. Well, I can get real deep with that according to the Masoret Code, but I'm going to try to keep it simple. It says the Lord will preserve him. It's just not talking about you, but it's also talking about Jesus. Why? Because the Father is always going to protect his investment.
Amen.
He's invested something in you. He's given you a life, a character, a nature that he has to protect and preserve.
Right.
Amen.
I found myself, Brother Tony, in a bad situation. But all the time I was telling myself that I'm still a good person.
Come on now.
David was a good person. But when he looked out the window and he saw Bathsheba, he found himself in a bad situation and found himself feeling a certain kind of way.
Come on, Pastor.
Y'all don't hear me this morning. But he said, God will deliver and keep him alive.
Yeah.
Man.
Amen.
Amen. And he shall be blessed upon or within the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will or the soul or the flesh of his enemies. Amen. A lot of times you have folks come against you and persecute you and ridicule you and talk about you. You have, and you don't understand why they're doing it, because you've never done anything to offend or harm or hurt them. But you found yourself in a bad situation, feeling a certain kind of way, brother. Not knowing which way to turn. But God is saying, if you turn to me, I'll keep you.
That's right.
I'll preserve you. I like that word preserve, because it has to deal with your whole total being. That means God will keep your soul. He'll keep your flesh. He'll keep your mind. He'll keep your heart.
Hallelujah.
He'll keep it from rotting. Oh, I've been in some situations, Pastor Keys. I have got myself in some messes where it felt like I had the ability to rot away. And I felt a certain kind of way about it. And I realized I was in a bad situation. But I looked up to the Lord, who is my help, who is my strength. I started to look. I had to learn to look up to the hills from which comes my help. And I realized that my help was coming from the Lord. I kept looking to the sky, but God said, your help is in you.
Come on,
the hope
now.
Of glory.
Come on now.
So I started looking to the word that was in my life. And I said, why apply this word in my life? It will preserve me.
Amen.
I'm feeling a certain kind of way.
Come on,
man.
I'm
in a bad situation. But I'm glad to hear God got my back.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
Yes.
My brother found himself in a bad situation and he was feeling a certain kind of way. I know he was feeling a certain kind of way because I had to hold him back. But God preserved him.
Amen.
And kept him.
Amen.
And brought him through.
Yes.
It goes on to say, the Lord will do what? Will strengthen you. How does God? You know what I found out? The greatest strength you can possibly have is joy.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You better speak it.
Joy is your greatest strength.
Come on now.
Because if you can laugh at calamity, you can laugh through stress.
Yes.
You can laugh at your pain.
Yes.
You can laugh at persecution. You can laugh in the midst of these things. You find yourself in these situations feeling a certain kind of way, but you have the joy of the Lord, which becomes your strength. It empowers you. And now you can do all things through Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's strength. I'm feeling a certain kind of way, First Lady, because I done got myself in this bad situation.
Come on now. Preach.
But all I can stand on is the word of God. God said
right,
he would keep me.
That's right.
Smart. Yes, yes.
Upon or within your bed of languishing. When you look at the word, it just means couch. The bed, couch. Languishing. You know, my sorrow, my hurt, my pain. But the Lord said, thou will make all his bed in sickness. So you found yourself in this bad situation, feeling this certain kind of way, nowhere to turn, no one to trust, no one to have confidence in. God told me to tell you that in the midst of this sickness, which is what it is in your life, because you're in a bad situation, God will deliver you.
Amen.
God said he'll make your bed up for you.
Amen.
Amen. Oh Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Help.
Yes.
Help me. God said he will keep him alive. When you look at the word live, live, it's talking about that evil day of time of trouble. In the evil day, God will give you the power to live and keep you alive, or so as to live again, to give life to. Or what I like this part, he will restore what you lost.
Thank you.
Amen.
We get ourselves in a lot of situations, we lose a lot of stuff.
Yes.
But if you honor God with your praise, in your worship, even though you may be feeling it a different way, God will restore it back up to you. I'm a good person just in a bad situation. I may be in a state of depression. I can't tell nobody because I'm supposed to be a born again Christian. Go to the book of Luke. I know we all know this story. We have heard this story so many times. We can preach it without even reading it. The book of Luke, the 15th chapter. I'm a good person. I'm in a bad situation. And I found myself feeling a certain way. Now we know Jesus spoke to them in parables. A parable. What is a parable? A parable is a short story designed to illustrate or teach some truth. A certain religious principle or a moral lesson.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what a parable is. Well, as we read 15th chapter, and we start with we'll start with the first verse. Then drew near unto him all the Republicans and the sinners. I almost said Republicans, I'm sorry. Drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees, scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, eateth with them. They didn't already prejudged him.
Right.
How you going to tell us how to be good, and you eating with the very folks that we done degraded and called nothing, worthless. And he spake this parable unto them. You remember what a parable is? A short story designed to illustrate or teach some truth concerning religious principles and moral lessons. What man of you have 100 sheep, if he lose them, does not leave the 99 in wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Skip that. We're going to come back to that. Let's go to the 11th verse. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, or that belong to me. And he divided unto them his living, meaning he gave him what he had already promised him. And it wasn't not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He's about to find himself in a bad situation.
Come on now.
Just wasting his stuff on riotous living. That means he about to party. Substance speaks of his property. Riotous living deals with living ruinously, meaning that what he's about to do, he has no chance mentally of surviving. How many of you ever been there? And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. All his stuff gone. Now here, that means there's nothing left. A famine in the land. We're not only talking about, if you do deep study on the word land, it also represents us. Because we are, the Bible says, we are the redness or the ruddiness that comes from the earth. My goodness. And when he had spent all that, the mighty family of the land, and he began to be in want, meaning that the brother got hungry. He was now at a point where he had no money, so he couldn't pay to take a shower. He couldn't buy water to drink, and he definitely didn't have nothing to pay for food. He was in a situation. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Meaning he cleaved to someone. He glued himself together. Meaning he forced himself. Right. He already knew that this guy that he was about to force to cleave himself to was no good. But he found himself in a certain situation, feeling a certain kind of way, and he needed the help of anything he could get. Well, let's look at what this guy did for him to help him. This guy decided, I got me some free labor. So he sent him into the field to feed the swine. How many ever been to a farm? And saw when they feed the swine. What? When they feed the pigs. How they swap the pigs, the hogs. You have to have grown up doing that. Because that ain't something you just gonna do. Unless God tell you, I want you to grow, I want you to raise hogs. I'm gonna tell the Lord, I beg to differ. I don't think I heard you. You need to come sit next to me, pat me on the shoulder and say, son, I want you to raise hogs. How many ever been riding down the freeway and it had to be a hog truck trailer riding next to you? And it felt like that trailer was inside your car. Just imagine dealing with that on a daily basis. 2 and 3 times a day. upfront and personal, I bet you'll be feeling a certain kind of way. But here he is out there feeding the swine, but the brother hungry. He said, if I would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him, he couldn't even eat the husk. The guy that sent him out there told you the food is for the pigs and not for you. And what he was giving the pigs was nothing but garbage in the first place. You can't even have my garbage.
Wow.
He was in a certain situation, Elder Russell. I mean, he was crying and praying just to eat what he was feeding the pigs. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. And when he came to himself, I've had to do that, Brother Ian. I've had to come to myself.
Right.
When he came to himself, that means when he come out of his stoop, and he looked at the situation he was in and the way he was feeling, he came to himself.
Right.
Oh, Lord, I need a drink. Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's recap. He done took all he had. All his stuff. Went out there squandered it. Don't have nothing. Now there's a famine in the certain city that he's living in. The only way you have anything is if you own something already. He needs to eat. So the guy he attaches himself to sends him out into the field to feed his pigs. He's so hungry that he would even eat the husk that he's feeding the pigs, but he's not allowed to because it's for the pigs. Well, in this situation, feeling a certain kind of way, he came to himself. Sometimes your circumstances will make you come to yourself. Your problems will quicken in your spirit and make you realize that it was better where you were. Your troubles will change your ideas and your way of thinking.
Amen.
Because you will come to yourself. He came to himself and he realized that what he had was far more greater than what he got now. When he came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish? So I'm sitting here starving to death, and my father's servants at home eating fat lamb. I'm out here wallowing in the mud with pigs, and my servants are at home in beds.
Amen. Right.
He came to himself. God will remind you what you gave up to get what you got. And when you get what you got, it's usually what you asked for. You wish you didn't ask for it, and you had no God.
Come on now. Amen. Tell it.
Amen.
My goodness. Been there, done that.
Yes.
Decided I better wait on God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Came to myself. His high servant, look what they got. And I will arise. And then it says, he was what? Hunger. He was hungry from the fat. He said, man, I will arise and go to my father. You better go to God. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned. I messed up.
Yes. Lord have mercy.
Screwed up.
Yeah.
Made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Father, I found myself in a certain situation out there with the hogs feeling a certain kind of way.
Yes.
Forgive me. I'm gonna go. Now see, he hadn't done this yet. This is just what he's stating.
Right.
Because he's done come to his senses.
Right.
He's done realized that what he needs ain't where he at. What he needs is where he left.
Come Come on.
The problem is wondering if he asked his father to forgive him, will his father forgive him? Now he's got to deal with that part of his agony. I have sinned against heaven, and I've done it before thee in the presence of God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. When it's talking about sin, it's talking about missing or wandering from the right path.
Amen.
When you wander from the right path, that's what you're going to do. Find yourself in a bad situation. And when you've been there a little while, you're going to start feeling a certain kind of way.
Amen.
And if you're smart, you're going to do like the son did. I'm going to come to my senses. I'm going back to my father's house.
Amen.
But look at this. He says, in the 19th verse, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me, I'm willing to just be one of your hired hands.
Right, right.
They live better than I'm living.
Right.
What he's saying is, I'll come to the conclusion, I don't have to stay here.
Right.
I can go back to my father's house.
Jesus,
amen.
Thank you, Lord.
After he thought about that thing for a while, 20 verses, and he arose and came unto his father. Check this out. But when he was yet far away,
Glory
a great way off, his father saw him.
Amen.
And had compassion, amen, and ran, yes, and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Yes.
Ain't that just like God?
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
After all the hell you done raised, the trouble you done started,
yes,
the mess you done got yourself to in that bad situation, telling God, Lord, I really do have a good heart. I really am a good person. I really will do anything for anybody, but I'm just in this bad situation, and I'm feeling a certain kind of way. And when you don't even get there, the Father can see you wherever you are. The Bible says he searched the intents of your heart. He knows where you are, even if you don't. But if you call upon him,
come on,
if you praise him,
come on,
if you glorify him,
come on,
if you magnify him,
yes.
He'll see you afar off. He'll see you in the distance. He'll see you going through what you're going through. And he'll fall upon you.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm a real good person. I'm just in a bad situation. And I'm feeling a certain kind of way.
You got that right. My Lord.
And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven,
yes,
and in thy sight. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, this is how great the love of God is. Bring forth the best robe. Actually talking about the father actually never threw away his robe when he left. He had the best robe. What he was saying was, go get my son's robe.
Yeah.
And don't let him put it on himself. Show some compassion and put it on him. That's a sign of reverence.
Ooh,
and dedication.
Name,
this is the one that took all this stuff and went and swallowed it. And put a ring. We just don't know. We're not going to stop with the robe. Put a ring on his hand.
Yes.
Shut the front door. Lord, hold on a second. I got to breathe. Because I see this thing transpire. I see it happening right before me, God. I see the Father greet him like he never done anything wrong. Like he never left home. Like he just went into the field to play it. Or to hunt. He went out the country to hunt and came back home. And took his ring off so he wouldn't lose it. Put a ring on his hand and put some shoes on his feet. If you look at the supernatural, he's telling, he said, put his robe on him to cover him like a Penelope.
Amen.
Or like the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Put it on him.
You better preach.
Hallelujah. Then you got to put a ring on his hand, speaking of the authority, dominion of God.
Amen.
Giving him back of his authority. And then you got to put some shoes on his feet because our feet are shod with the preparation of peace. I was in a bad situation. I was feeling a certain kind of way. But when I come to myself, I went back home to my father and he gave me everything that I thought I lost.
Amen.
Because the grace of God is sufficient. Oh, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. Then he wasn't done. He said, look here. Go out into the field. Get me one of them fat cats. Don't go get me nothing skinny. Nothing big. Get me a fat cat. I mean one that's done ate up everything that's so big that we can feast on it for 2 weeks. When he's talking about bring me the fatty cat, he's talking about bring me something that's been filled with the glory of God, with the power of God. Oh, hear me.
My Lord. Come on now.
I done clothed you. I done forgave you. And now I'm getting to feed you.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Get the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Kill the fatted calf, killing the meat, sacrificing it. Let's present a sacrifice. Well, this was my son.
Yeah, man.
Forget that he left when I gave him his stuff. Forget he went out there and squandered it all. Forget he made a huge mistake. This is my son.
Yes.
Oh. And he's alive again.
Man.
He was lost.
Yes.
And he is found.
Yes.
Why? Because he came to himself. He realized he messed up. But then, me and Pastor Cheeks was in this conversation, and we come to the conclusion of both of us. You know, it says, two heads are better than one, where there are two or three gathered in the. Then God will be in the.
Yes.
We come to this conclusion that the prodigal son, which is actually the one that left the house, y'all better listen.
That was the
prodigal son was the one that was still there. Okay, I know. I'm messing some of y'all up.
Break it down.
I'm messing some of y'all up. Listen to what the son that was still there says. Now, his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing.
Right.
Why they got a party going on there? I'm not there. They can't party without me. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. That sounds like you, Rod. My brother got his own language. It's all good though, I understand him. What these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come. And thy father has killed the fat calf. The best calf in the herd. And he happened to kill not a full-blown cow, but he killed a calf. Speaking of the newness of life.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, that verse. Glory to God. Because he has received him safe and sound. Here we go. And he was angry and would not go in. Guess what? He in a bad situation and he feeling a certain kind of way because he thought he was the good son. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he answered and said unto his father, lo, these many years I served thee, neither to transgress thy at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid or a calf. Who feeling a certain kind of way now? Who in a certain situation? And yet thou gavest me a kid that I may make merry. Never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. See, that contrasts what he said about his brother. My brother was out there running around with harlots. But I got real friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living, he done went out there and messed up everything. Took everything that you gave him with harlots. Thou hast killed him the fat calf. And he said to him, the father said, son, real nicely, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. Is it meet that we should not make merry and be glad? For thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was deaf, but now I hear. I'm in a certain situation, feeling a certain kind of way. The prodigal son was at home. The other son went out and squandered everything. But the one that's at home got everything, and he still ain't happy because the father forgave the other son. Who the prodigal? And if you read the story, you do some real close research, you find out he never at one time asked his father to forgive him for being judgmental, hateful, and full of jealousy. Who's the prodigal son?
Amen.
Your brother was dead and now he's alive. Don't that remind you of Christ? He was dead, but now he's alive forevermore. Amen. Let's jump back. Now let's go back to the fourth verse of the same chapter. What manner of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Father, I'm in a bad situation. I'm feeling a certain kind of way. But I ask you to forgive me, for I have sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against myself. I'm coming home. Will you accept me? Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord God, I'm repenting of all my mess, because I'm sick of being in this situation, and I'm sick of feeling this certain kind of way. I'm ready to feel a way where I can rejoice and be glad in the goodness of God.
Yes, Father. Yes.
We need to stop playing.
My Lord.
We have things in our lives we need to come to God. You need to stop being in that situation you're in and feeling the way you're feeling about the situation you're in. Because when you start feeling a certain kind of way, you try to find something to blame it on. See, the oldest brother is now blaming his hardship or his misfortune on his younger brother. Because he went out and squandered everything, and the father received him back into the fold like he hadn't done anything. Well, praise be unto God. That's the way God is with us.
Yes, it is.
Amen. God is looking for a few faithful that will say unto him, Lord, I've sinned against you.
Yes.
receive me back into your bosom. But Therese, I got tired of being in that situation. I got tired of feeling a certain kind of way. So I came to myself. I sat on the side of the bed one morning and I said, you know what? I'm going to come to myself. I'm tired of being in this situation. I'm tired of feeling the way I'm feeling. I'm going to wake up and I'm going back into my Father's house.
Amen.
And I fell on my knees and I said, Father, forgive me. Boy, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against thee.
Amen.
And the Father opened up his arms and received me with gladness and forgave me of all the mess that I had done. Moved me out of that situation I was in. And I didn't have to keep saying, Lord, I got a good heart. I'm in a bad situation.
Amen.
I found out, regardless of the situation we're in, we can call upon the Lord. And he will answer prayer. I don't care if it's raining just on your side of the street. You can call on him.
Amen.
And he'll answer your prayer.
Amen.
The problem is we get so high, mighty, and so holy that we ain't no earthly good. And we think that our stuff don't stay.
Come on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor.
God, I've done everything you wanted me to do. I stayed here, never transgressed against your wishes. Took care of all the livestock, kept the house up. And you're going to receive this one that broke, squandered everything that he had. I still got all my stuff. He liked the talent, the guy with the talent, who hid his talent. Thought he was doing something smart. He was in a bad situation. And he was a good person because he thought he was doing the right thing. How many times have you thought you were doing the right thing and found yourself in a bad situation? And you had to remind God how faithful you've been to him.
Glory.
You know this one thing that son ever did? He never talked about what he did before he left.
Right.
He never talked about what he did while he was out there.
Right.
All he did was recognize what he was in while he was in it and realize that he could no longer live like that.
Right.
And he had to make a decision that was going to enhance his life or destroy his life. But he made the best decision he could possibly make, going back to his Father. Because when you go back to the Father's house, guess what there is? Fullness of joy.
Yeah.
My Lord.
Peace that passes all understanding.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Mercy that endureth forever.
Oh.
My goodness. I'm a good person. Just in a bad situation. But I'm going home. And I know he gonna kill the fat cow. Put a robe back on my back. Put a ring on my finger. And put good shoes back on my feet. Let me show you something about this son that left. That it ain't in scripture. The ring was once his. The robe was once his. The shoes were once his. When he left his father's house, he left all that his father gave him. He only took what belonged to him.
Amen.
How many folks are taking everything they can get?
Right.
Amen.
Right. Y'all gonna catch that.
Right.
Amen. Right. Wow. Everybody stand here. So, as you study this to show yourself, don't take my word for it. Search the scriptures and see if you have everlasting life.
Everlasting life. Yeah.
Kandarabakiyo moshi andala sanda. Kemo yandala moshi abobosi. Komo ramama sekatorosi. Seyatala moki andala makahandala moki. Komo ramama shishopoku. Kiyabata kale kiyeto. Kandarabaki.
Be not so much like the so-called prodigal son, which we assume was the one that left home, but how be it that the one that stayed at the end of the story of the parable began to show what was in his life. Because whatever is in a man, the right circumstance will make him feel a certain kind of way, and it will come up out of him. Make sure that when you find yourself in a certain situation, feeling a certain kind of way, that you lift up your hands toward heaven and glorify God and ask the Father to forgive you of whatever it is that you may have done to sin against him and to sin against yourself, so that he might receive you again back into his bosom as one of his best children. I, the Lord God, have come this day to let you know that I am here standing waiting for you. I am that door, and the door is open to receive you unto my bosom, that I might clean you, strengthen you, fortify you, raise you up, and quicken you unto yourself, that you might come to yourself and do that which is right in the eyes of me instead of that which is in the eyes of yourself. For I surely am the God of the beginning, God of the middle, and the God of the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the everlasting God, and I am he that cometh to deliver, to heal, and to set the captive free. So in the midst of your dilemma, glorify me, speak of me highly, and I shall rain down into your soul, and you shall know that this is the day that the Lord hath made, and you have the power and ability to rejoice in it, saith God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is it all about? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
In those three things, we have life. And like First Lady said, we now have the power to have it more abundantly. Amen. This morning, you decide whether you fall in line with that which man has labeled the prodigal son. And make up your mind this morning if you have a heart or the understanding to ask God to forgive you. I guarantee you he'll receive you unto himself. He'll re-robe you, forgive you, strengthen you for the work that God has before you. I've fallen time and time again, but because of the Christ in me, I had the perseverance to get myself up and keep it moving. And I thank God for those times, because those times are the times that I learned the most about my God.
Amen.
And realized who I was and what I was capable of being. Go through like you go through. I feel what you feel. I imagine what you imagine. I hurt like you hurt. I go without like you do. Everything that you deal with, I deal with too. But I had to learn, being here at this church, that your help comes from the Lord and not from me. Early years in ministry, I learned not to put my confidence in the arm of flesh. But put all my confidence in the Lord. We because therein I have my being. And it's through him that I can do all things. All things. So this morning, if you're not afraid, there's things that's got you separated from God, and you feel like you're in a bad situation, and got you feeling a certain kind of way, but you really are a good person, and you want to make things right before God, I want you to come stand across this room. See, ain't no shame in coming to God. Ain't no shame at all in coming to God. Because you have to realize something. He already knows anyway. He's the only one that already knows.
Right.
We might see each other just on Sunday. One of the couples might see each other 2 or 3 times a week. But we don't know nothing about each other. We only know what we tell each other. Amen. That's all we know. But God searched the intents of all of our hearts. And he knows who we are, what we are, and what we are about. And he's just looking for a people that will say, Lord, I went out, but I'm coming home. It ain't that bad. I don't know about you, but I have been in certain situations where I was ready to take my own life. I was feeling a certain kind of way. And it wasn't like living.
Hallelujah.
You ever been in a situation where you just didn't want to be around no more? Because you were blind that you couldn't see no way out? You couldn't see no way out? And all you could think about what people was going to think about you when they found out. How you going to be humiliated and broke down and hurt and disrespected over it. Well, this situation that you have found yourself in, there's no fault of your own that you're here, but you're in it nevertheless. And at times it has you feeling a certain kind of way. But I, the Lord God, have heard your cry from the very depths of your spirit. And I've seen your endeavor and strength to keep going and keep it moving in spite of how you may feel, in spite of what you may see. I've seen your undying love for me and your sacrifices you made for my kingdom. My daughter, my child, understand this thing. There's a greater calling in your life than that which you have imagined. For I have touched you and raised you up. Even as I quickened the prodigal son and he came to himself, you have come to yourself years ago and realized that the ministry that is in you is time to keep it moving and to get flowing in it. For I have touched your heart. I have ministered to your mind. I have sowed into your spirit. And now, my daughter, understand this. This day shall I anoint you above measure, and you shall know that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And I, the Lord God, am for you, so nothing can be against you. Therefore, rejoice, my daughter. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Say it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.